I love the question, is he worthy, in the last song. Is he worthy? He is. You, Lord, are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. And he's worthy of our attention this morning, he's worthy of our praise, and he's worthy of our diligence as we listen to the Word of God. Our text today is 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be looking specifically at verses 12 through 15. And I'm starting a little late today. I'll go over a little bit, not a long time. Stand as we read, if you can, in verse 12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? I'm going to remind you of these things, but you already know them. And you know what? On top of that, you've been established in the truth, which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. Let's pray together, please. Father, we're thankful that you are worthy. Worthy of our all. We know in honesty and in transparency and knowing that you know all, that we don't always give you our all. But I pray that we will more and more as we grow in Christ's likeness. I pray that we might hear from you today rather than me. I pray that your people will be encouraged and challenged. I pray for anyone here today without the Savior. May your Spirit work in our midst, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The words remember, remembered, and remembrance are used in my Bible 258 times. Now, certainly those words are used frequently in Scripture because as human beings, we forget things. And the older we get, the more we forget. So often we need holy reminders of biblical truths. We need to be reminded about what's most important, the eternal. And sometimes we forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget. I didn't come up with that, Warren Wiersbe did, but it's true. To illustrate what he said, the Apostle Paul said there are things we should forget, things we should put behind us. For he said in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And no doubt Paul's past in his works righteousness in Judaism was not good. And how he persecuted Christians, which was persecuting Christ, had to be horrible for him to remember about. And certainly we're not to dwell on past sins and failing our Lord as we all have. And we should learn from the past, yes, but not live in the past. And I'm very thankful that the Lord does not remember my sins. The sins of my youth, my sins in the past, my sins already this morning. Because of Christ's sacrifice on my behalf, I'm thankful for Hebrews 10:17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." How can a God who's omniscient not remember our sins? He knows all. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He knows everything. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing surprises him. How does he not remember our sins? He chooses not to use them against us because of what Christ did on our behalf, believer. What he did on our behalf. The psalmist said in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So there are things we need to forget. However, there are things we should remember. For example, we're to remember our Lord's death and coming again. And the Lord has given the church an ordinance to do that called the Lord's Supper, a forget-me-not feast of the soul. To eat the bread and drink the cup in remembrance of Christ's death. This do in remembrance of me. And then the Jewish people were to remember the Passover, an annual reminder of God's redemption, his deliverance, his grace, his mercy, and his judgment in Egypt. Beyond that, the children of Israel are told in Deuteronomy 6:12 not to forget the Lord. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't forget about God's powerful ways. And then in the New Testament, we're told in Luke 17:23, get this, to remember Lot's wife. Why? Well, she died on the threshold of being delivered from Sodom's judgment. But her heart was in Sodom, and she looked back. She was told not to look back. She looked back. That was where her heart was. She was worldly. She died. Beyond that, Paul said in Colossians 4:18, remember my chains. Remember my imprisonment at the end of that prison epistle. And beloved, my point is, there are things we need to remember and not to forget. And that ties into our text today, a transitional text. For Peter uses the word remind in verse 12, reminder in verse 13, and depending on which translation you have, the word recall, remembrance, remember, reminder, or call to mind is used in verse 15. Three times a form of the word remember is used in our short text today. So a theme jumps out in our passage. A Peter reminding believers of a central truth. Peter teaches by way of reminder here. And we know that good teachers realize the value of repetition and reminding people of basics to teach by way of reminder. Peter does that in 2 Peter 1:12 through 15, our text today, which I've titled Holy Reminders. And under that theme, we'll look at three points. Number one, the responsibility of Peter to remind, verses 12 and 13. Number two, the rationale behind Peter's responsibility, verse 14. And number three, the review of the main thought of reminding, verse 15. And with that outline in our sights, look at verse 12, please, where we'll start to see our first point, the responsibility of Peter. Verse 12, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. Now, the first word in verse 12, therefore, wherefore, so, or for this reason, depending on which translation you have, takes us back to verses 1 through 11 and what Peter has already said, what we've looked at over the last few weeks. And in verses 1 through 4, in review, the greatness of salvation is communicated and the power to be godly is talked about, that we have all that we need for life and godliness. And then in verses 5 through 11, maximum efforts for sanctification and assurance is taught. And these truths are crucial. They must never, ever be forgotten. For Peter did not want his brothers and sisters in Christ to forget about them. Great salvation. And to be assured that they were Christians, that they were saved, by adding virtues and making every effort to make their calling and election sure. So Peter says in verse 12, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, which he's already covered in verses 1 through 11. And by saying this, Peter was indicating that he would remind his listeners of truth whenever given the opportunity, including when writing this inspired letter and the effects it would have in the future, as Peter uses the future tense here. And please get this. Peter would be diligent in giving holy reminder truths to the believers he was writing to, in spite of the fact they already knew them. And not only they not already knew them, they were established in the truths they were given and had. They were established in the truth, meaning they were strengthened, stable, firm, strong. Now, why would Peter still do this, even though they were established and even though they knew these things? Why? Well, even though a person is established in the truth, they need to be reminded about truth, because we sometimes forget truth in the time of trial, the time of temptation. We know it, but are we thinking about it? Is it on the forefront of our minds? We can lose focus quickly in the world system we live in, very quickly. Peter knew from experience that we're prone to lose the fine edge of our zeal for godliness as the world keeps trying to squeeze us into its mold. Every day that goes on from the world system. Peter, the bold, brash, confident leader of the apostles, capitulated himself. He gave in to fear and denied Christ 3 times, even though earlier he pointed out he would not only not deny Christ, but he would die for him. But he allowed fear to enter in. He knew better, but that didn't stop him from doing what he did. He knew the truth. He was the leader of the apostles. And we all know established believers in the truth whom have fallen into lying, immorality, error, and worldliness, and into behaviors that are not very sanctified. And a lot of times we know better. We know the truth. Maybe we would even consider ourselves established in the truth, as Peter did with these believers. Beloved, there's always the danger of a preoccupied moment, a forgetful hour, yielding to a moment of anger or lust that leads to destructive results. Therefore, we constantly need to be reminded of truth we already know, to steer us back, to pull us back, to apply it, and not allow pride to deceive us to think, well, I would never do that. Or in the context of 2 Peter and the pressure of false teachers to change our beliefs and biblical worldview and compromise the truth. That's why we have the reminder and the warning in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's why we have the warning in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's why it says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. We go down. But with the lowly is wisdom. Beloved, please, don't be deceived that falling is beyond us, or that we would never do that. I'm sure Peter never ever thought he would deny his Lord once, let alone 3 times. But he did. So we need holy reminders, even if we are established in the faith and know truth. And it was and is still imperative that we and Peter's readers receive reminders, especially in view of the threat for them they face from the powerful infiltration of false teachers, as we will see in 2 Peter chapter 2. And of course, they're all around us today. Peter knew he had a responsibility to remind those around him of truth. And he expands on that in verse 13. Look at verse 13 with me, please. I consider it right. It's the right thing to do. As long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Now, when you're a responsible, godly person, you want to do what is right, what is correct biblically. And what was right biblically, being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, what was right, as long as Peter was alive in this earthly dwelling in the tent of his body he dwelled in, he was going to stir the believers up. So he was writing by way of reminder. Now let me attempt to unpack this verse. Peter knew the right thing to do, the righteous thing to do, the correct thing to do, while he was still alive and able to serve and shepherd, was to stir people up by holy reminders. So this was a conviction, a strong belief, a persuasion, a passion for Peter. And this passion could be fulfilled as long as he was alive in his earthly dwelling. And the words rendered earthly dwelling is the word tent, a temporary place to dwell, speaking of our bodies. And Paul uses this metaphor in 2 Corinthians 5:1, where he said, "Wherefore we have this earthly body, this tent, tabernacle, this tent of our bodies." And he used that to talk about a temporary dwelling place, speaking specifically of our bodies in 2 Corinthians 5, 1-4. Now, our bodies are tents. They are temporary dwelling places, which remind us of our mortality, the briefness of life in the physical body, the shortness of life. And many people lived as nomads in that day, going from place to place, moving around, packing their tents, portable dwelling places. And Peter knew he was in a temporary house. So he had not put down roots in a sense, and knew that one day God would fold up his tent to free up his eternal soul to enter heaven, to pull up stakes, per se, spiritually. And I like that analogy. As we think of the tent of our bodies, we're packing up. We're going home someday. The temporary will give way to the eternal. Our corruptible, temporal, fallen, aging, sometimes diseased bodies will be put off. And in the resurrection, we'll receive new glorified ones. Now, they would have been shouting on that one yesterday. Right, Bob? You were there. Well, Peter was determined to do the right thing until he packed his tent, and that was to stir up people he was shepherding by way of reminder. And the compound verb for stir up here in this verse, verse 13, means to arouse completely, to wake up, to thoroughly awaken from sleep, drowsiness. And spiritually, that was Peter's goal while he was alive. The right thing to do was to issue wake-up calls, to rouse the sheep from spiritual sleep and call them to vigilance by way of reminder. And again, reminding them of truths they already knew. So let's not walk away from teaching and preaching times and say, "Oh, I've heard that before," or "I'm not going to go to that class because I already know that." The key is, are you applying it? Is it on the forefront of your heart and mind? Are you living it? Is it impacting you? If it's not, you need to be reminded about it. And if you're living it now, great. But you can fall asleep at the wheel later when you need to be awake. By the way, I read this week that research has shown that within an hour after hearing a spoken message, people forget up to 90% of it, which is not too encouraging. That by the time you leave, if you stay for the elective classes, 90% of what I just said will be gone. Yet, you say, "Well, why do you do it then?" Well, I have confidence in the power of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit to use God's Word in your life. I have the confidence to know that God's Word will not return void. "So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Isaiah 55:11. And then Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And that the Holy Spirit in John 14:26 will bring things to our minds, remind us of those things. And specifically, that would be talking about biblical authors, authors like John, who would write so many years later. The Holy Spirit would bring scripture to mind and inspire him to write down what he saw with Christ and write down those things perfectly. But also the Holy Spirit does that from scriptures we've learned. He brings them to mind at strategic times. And with that said, look at verse 14, please, where we'll see our second point today, the rationale by Peter. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Now, Peter's rationale for doing what's right for his Lord and stirring up people with holy reminders, his passion was driven by knowing that his time on the earth he had left was short. What's the point? The brevity of life was a controlling principle. It was a basis for his passion. He realized what he had to do, he needed to do now for the Lord. Tomorrow might not be there. As the psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, that we might live wisely. And Peter knew that he was going to lay aside his tent soon. Laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, he said. He believed his death was near. And again, Peter described death in the analogy, the illustration of laying aside his tent. That's what death was for him. Personally, not liking camping a whole lot, packing up a tent would be a happy moment for me. For it would mean I'm going home. And I like going home. And of course, how much more when that home is heaven? Putting off the old to put on the new. And I draw your attention, verse 14, to the word imminent. I know that my departure is imminent. Translated shortly or soon. It literally means something that will be swift. It's going to happen quickly. And Peter knew that his days on earth were drawing to a close, that they were numbered. Now, how did Peter know this? Did God give him a direct revelation about this? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ made that clear to Peter, which leads to a question, when? Well, the answer is Christ made this pretty clear approximately 40 years before this, during Peter's restoration, after he denied his Lord three times. It's found in John 21:18-19. It's on the screen. You can follow along with me. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, Jesus is speaking to Peter here. You used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Glorifying God in his death. And when he had spoken this, Jesus said to him, follow me. Now, our Lord Jesus' words here were a prophecy, a prediction of Peter's martyrdom, which would happen when he was, when? Older. A death by crucifixion, as the words, you will stretch out your hands. Which happened. Which tradition communicates, Peter did not feel worthy to be crucified like our Lord, so he was crucified, yes, but upside down. So Peter put it all together in his mind from that prophecy. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm old. Nero was killing Christians. He was in Rome in prison. Peter could see the handwriting on the wall from what Christ said. His death was imminent. And in view of that, Peter's rationale was, I'm going to be diligent, passionate, and single-minded in giving holy reminders in the time that I have left on this earth. Which leads us to some review of what he has already said in verse 15. Our last point today, the review. Look at verse 15 with me. please. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind, to remember them. Now, in eternity's view, in view of the brevity of Peter's ministry and life that he had left, Peter was going to be diligent about his passion of ministry. And the word diligent, forms of it used are in verse 5, which we've covered, and also in verse 10 of 1 Peter, literally means to exert ourselves, to endeavor, to make maximum effort. Peter was going to be relentless to remind believers of the truth in his time left on earth. He was going out with full effort, full out for the Lord, nothing left in the tank, per se. And notice Peter uses the words departure. I like this word here, or decease, which comes from our word for, in the Greek language, exodus, which means exit. And again, he looked at death as an exit, or an exodus from this life to another, from leaving one place, earth, to go to another, heaven. So death is an exit, a departure from this life, from this earth. And Peter's concern was not that they remember him or his death, as some venerate him today as the first pope. But Peter's concern was those he wrote to would remember the truth he taught them, to recall these things, what I taught you, to bring them to mind in remembrance, to remember the theme of our text again, holy reminders. In wrap up, one thing you find out in years of Bible study is the Word of God is very repetitious. It's very repetitious. So the challenge sometimes for a teacher and preacher is to state the same truths in different ways, which is hard. Sometimes I don't do well. But clearly the biblical authors are concerned that Christians might forget the most basic of truths of the gospel in a volitional and practical sense. For example, I may mentally remember that Christ died for my sins. I know that fact, according to the scriptures. But I may not make that truth a vital part of my life and behavior when I'm tempted, when I'm discouraged, when I'm depressed, or going through a trial. I know Jesus died sacrificially for me, but I don't remember its significance and ramifications and God's great love for me when sometimes I'm depressed, tempted, and discouraged. It's not on the forefront of my mind. But holy reminders bring that truth to the forefront of our minds and what it means, how it should affect us, and how it should affect me. What did Peter say in verse 12? I'm reminding you of these things even though you know them and even though you're established in the faith. I'm reminding you of these things. And remembering biblically is more than just recalling facts, but truths that will transform when applied and obeyed, renewing our minds and thoughts from facts to life, from knowledge to behavior. True knowledge, as Peter has been talking about, and truly knowing Jesus and making him known. Really knowing. May holy remembrance be our desire to hear things, to stir us up when we're sleeping spiritually. Number two, death, I remind you from our text today, for the Christian, is putting off and packing our tent. It is departure. It is exodus. Is exiting from this life to a better one. It's putting off the old and will be our best life, the life to come, not now. And knowing that is going to happen should encourage us and motivate us to be diligent in our walk for the Lord. And that is harder as we get older. We get tired easier. We're hurting. It's hard to get going in the morning. But even though we may not be able to do physically what we used to do. It should not limit our passion and fire. It should increase it. It should fan the flames of it. Older believers don't retire mentally or give up or let tiredness stop you from what you need to do. And we have a lot of good models in this church that are older. I'm really thankful for. They've retired from their jobs, but they've not retired from the Lord's work and given up. I am really grateful for that. I mean, these can be wonderful years in service for the Lord. Isn't it ridiculous that people that have wisdom, that have experienced life, that know the Scriptures, retire from the Lord's work? Why? Why are you here? Again, this is not our best life now. We're here for a purpose to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. We belong to Him, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. So I'm grateful for every one of you that model that. And there are a lot of you. Praise God for that. We need examples like that. And do we really believe that death is putting off the tent for all of us when we die of our old corruptible bodies and a time of great exodus? Do we really believe that? I'm reminding of you of it today. Then let's live like it and even look forward to it. If you were to die today, are you ready? Well, there's only one way. Turning to Jesus Christ, God the Son of God, who died and was buried and rose again to save sinners like me. Turn to Him for forgiveness of sins today, to be rescued from yourself and sin, and be ready to meet Him today if you don't truly know Him. Let's pray together, please. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for holy reminders. May we be encouraged by them. May we be open to them. May we apply them in our lives. May we be doers of the word and not hearers only. And Father, I would pray for anyone here that knows not the Savior, that you might draw them to yourself for your honor and glory. Oh Lord, may we apply your word today. We thank you for the work of your Spirit and for your perfect word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.